If we're able to, kind of going through what a pelvic floor physio would say, postpartum rehab, like making sure that we're really ensuring that that pelvic floor, the structures that realistically carry a baby, are nice and healed before getting pregnant again, also has a massive impact. So ultimately, we should be looking after ourselves, full body care, not just when we're pregnant, but in between pregnancies, just to make sure that you're setting yourself up for success, truthfully.
Getting pregnant and giving birth are two of the most exciting things you can ever hope to experience in this life. The moment you think you could be pregnant, you're frantically searching for all the best information, which is why you're here today. I'm Stephanie King, and with my many years of experience as a professional childbirth educator, doula, and lover of all things pregnancy, birth, and postpartum, I'm here to make preparing for your birth enjoyable, empowering, and totally easy. Each week, I'll cover different topics, interview professionals, and get into the nitty-gritty birth stories from mamas just like you. And when you're ready for more, you can join me in the My Essential Birth course at myessentialbirth.com, where I take you step by step through exactly how to prepare your mind, body, spirit, and partner for a birth you love. So let's get started. Our reviewer of the week is from Lulu2394, and she says, the best podcast for birth preparation. As I was pregnant with my second kiddo, I started to routinely listen to this podcast. I wanted a natural birth so bad, as my first one wasn't. I hired a doula, read natural childbirth books, and was glued to this podcast. On January 19th, 2023, I naturally delivered my sweet baby boy and have never felt so great. I felt like going into this birth, I knew what my options were. The most important thing I learned from this podcast was deep breathing and meditation. Stephanie, you suggested practicing it every night, and so I did. I truly feel that's what got me through each contraction in a manageable way. Thank you. That is awesome. Congratulations. I'm like wondering at the time this comes out how old your baby is going to be, but it's going to be a little bit. And that is so exciting. I love that you have like followed along and you were able to do those things that helped you get ready. I'm like reading it through. Yes, deep breathing and meditation is where it's at. If you are listening here today, you have somebody else who's repeated it, do your deep breathing and meditation every day. That is one thing that you can like check off your box and feel good about doing it every day. With me today, and I hope all of you listening are going to enjoy this as much as I am, but I have with me a chiropractor. Her name is Dr. Casey Baker. I'm going to let her introduce herself, but she does prenatal, postpartum, and pediatric care for expecting moms and for babies, and I'm sure many other people, but that's what I want to focus with her today. So Dr. Casey Baker, will you take a moment and introduce yourself, please?
Absolutely. So first off, thank you so much for inviting me to chat on the podcast. I've been listening to it during my pregnancy and it is truly an honor. So a little bit about myself. My name is Dr. Casey Baker. I am a Canadian. I live about an hour and a half north of Toronto. And at my practice, I predominantly work with prenatal women, postpartum, and pediatric. So really providing support as we navigate this massive transition in life to make sure that we can be going through it pain-free and enjoying the process.
Is that even possible, right? Because I'm like, yes, that's exactly why I needed a chiropractor in my life when I was pregnant and postpartum. I just went yesterday, actually. So yes, all the times. But with that, what are some common complaints? What do women come to see you for? And I'm excited that we're here talking today because I want women to know about chiropractic care and go get it before they are in a lot of pain, which I assume is how women walk through the door many times in your practice. But tell us what some of those common complaints, ailments, and stuff that you help with. What are those?
Well, I think a lot of reason why women don't approach chiropractic care until they're at the point of pain or in some cases debilitation throughout pregnancy is kind of how society talks about pregnancy, right? When we're looking at pregnancy, it's not uncommon for someone to say, oh, I had debilitating back pain. I had to go off work early because I had sciatica. The round ligament or the lightning crotch was unbearable. So people, when we're always hearing that, it gets ingrained into our brain as that's normal, where it's actually not. You're able to enjoy pregnancy With ease, pain-free, if you have the proper support around you. So when it comes to pregnancy, reasons why people will come in, if they're coming in for more acute care or pain relief care, would be those things that I previously mentioned. But I'm noticing more and more, which is amazing, is more people are coming in proactively. So, yay. Hey, my friend, I'm like, yes. my friend saw a chiropractor throughout her entire pregnancy and she lived by it. And so now that we're pregnant, I knew this was the first thing that I had to do was book an appointment with you, which is amazing to see because it's always easier to be proactive. And hey, we know that naturally as we're growing a human, your body is going to go through changes. That is inevitable, but making sure that we're supporting those changes as best as we can to prevent those big pains that everyone talks about.
Yeah. A lot of the times, by the time I am recommending that people go to chiropractic care without saying it up front that like, yes, this is something that you should utilize throughout pregnancy, is I have something like SPD or, you know, I've got like you were talking about, like lightning crotch or some really bad, like lower back pain or sciatica, or, you know, we've hit these points where it's like necessary, something needs to get done. And that is a great time to go. Absolutely, you should go when you're experiencing those things. But what if you didn't have to? Like, what if you didn't have to feel all of that? And I think that's huge. The other thing that I think is really great is when we had talked previously, we were talking about pelvic alignment and optimal fetal positioning, which is one of the things I have women do. So like I have these three free exercises. I'll make sure to link that in the show notes for those of you who are listening. One of the exercises is a forward leaning inversion. And part of that is totally about, it's about pelvic alignment and baby's position. But obviously, if you go to a chiropractor, there's quite a bit more that they're able to do. And I'm not just talking Webster's technique for when you have a breech baby and you need them to flip and they need more space. So will you talk a little bit about that?
Absolutely. So one thing that we always have to let everyone know is that as prenatal chiropractors, we are working on the pelvis of mom. We're not working on the fetus. But with that, you're directly impacting the environment that the fetus is growing in, right? So within the pelvis, we have two sides that articulate with the lower part of our spine. And then within that space is where the uterus grows, and inside the uterus is growing babies. So within all of that bony part, we have a lot of attachments through ligaments, muscles, and tendons. So if we have poor alignment of the pelvis, you're kind of almost getting a distortion of the uterus, which would impact baby's environment. So when you're looking at pelvic alignment, from a mom standpoint, most women who have pelvic misalignment or subluxation will report some type of discomfort. Usually a catching, locked out feeling. I feel like I try to move my leg and it's getting jammed. Whereas when we're looking more at the soft tissues, like round ligament pain, I feel a pull. But deeper to that, it actually is impacting that uterus, that shape of it. So if we're making sure that pelvic is nice and aligned, soft tissues are relaxed, which foundationally we can do Webster technique, whether baby is breech or not, is just kind of preparing the body as best as we can. So baby has the space to get in that head down posture that we all want for our delivery.
Yeah, that's great. What about for moms who are listening, when is a good time to start seeing a chiropractor and how often would you recommend?
So ideally, most moms-to-be, I end up seeing them before they conceive, which is also a blessing. I get to see them in their average day-to-day and then carry them through with pregnancy. Usually if it's kind of like, I got my my positive pregnancy test, now what? You can see a chiropractor as early as you're comfortable with. People who haven't seen chiros before pregnancy can be a little bit nervous just because it's different. We also live in a society right now where people are struggling to get pregnant. So for them, they're really holding that close. But you can see a chiropractor throughout pregnancy, right from positive pregnancy test till baby is delivered, and it is completely safe. But I always recommend as soon as you're comfortable, and we're just doing that proactively before the body goes through that massive change that most people report in the second trimester. But if not, if it's kind of like, hey, that doesn't align well with me, you can do it second trimester. You can wait until you get into discomfort. I don't recommend it. if we can avoid the pain and the discomfort and the dysfunction, it's definitely better. And then in the cases for more labor prep stuff, some women, midwives, we thankfully in our area have a lot of OBs that actually refer to us as well. OBs tend to refer later on when there's back pain or we're getting close to labor. But when it comes to timelines and kind of frequency, usually earlier on in pregnancy, less frequent as long as everything's feeling well. And then as we get closer to that due date, I usually like to see moms once a week, just as we're kind of like, hey, baby can be coming at any time. Let's just make sure everything's perfectly aligned, nice and relaxed. You're feeling good. So if baby comes, you're not kind of in a tizzy.
Yeah, that's very much how I ended up practicing with my last baby. So I had pains with my first. Like I saw a chiropractor more often as each baby came, as I was like pregnant with each baby. I was proactive with my third because of how just like uncomfortable I was with the other two and waiting too long. But with my third, I saw a provider probably every 3 to 4 weeks. And then as I got towards those last like 6 weeks or so, it was like every week. And when my baby was breached at like 35, 36 weeks, I was seeing her twice a week. And then I saw her once a week until that resolved itself and until I gave birth. And I'm so glad I did. No regrets. I wish I would have done it for every pregnancy. It was so much better. And I had a lot of sciatica with the other two. I had, what's it called when you have like your wrist and you can't hold it straight, carpal tunnel. Yes. I had it on both wrists with my second, and I went to a chiropractor.
What's happening to my body?
Yes. I was like, please somebody make it better. But so if you're listening and like you have those things, there's help for that. Like you do not have to live like that. And you don't just have to wear a brace and like sleep with your arm above your head in this weird position, like in a flat position, there is relief. And I think that's huge. Same with sciatica or any of these other issues. I feel like I could function as a person and especially like as a mom running around after other children as well because of that care that I received. So I'm huge on chiropractic care because I've had it personally and I've seen it professionally with women who I have referred out that it just makes the biggest difference. So.
Well, and kind of one comment just about what you had mentioned about I had noticed it with each subsequent pregnancy, that's pretty common. It's pretty common for pelvic girdle related pain to sneak up on us a little bit sooner in subsequent pregnancies. So it's not unheard of for a mom who may have seen me with their first to say, hey, well, I didn't feel like I had to come and see you until like 28 weeks. And now I'm at 12 weeks and my body feels completely broken. What do I do? It's not uncommon for the pelvis to kind of, your body doesn't forget, right? It's been through this before. Everything's got a little bit more lax and there's mobility and stuff going through. So it's not uncommon because some people are like, oh my gosh, is this pregnancy going to be way worse because this is coming on sooner? Not the case. It's just kind of how pelvic girdle pain tends to hit us in subsequent pregnancies.
Okay, question regarding that because it's just like I have some thoughts now that you said that.
Absolutely.
Because I got good about seeing a chiropractor when I was pregnant, but then in between my pregnancies, I didn't do much of anything until I was back into pain during pregnancy. So do you find, have you had women that you've seen in between pregnancies who with their, like came to you because they had pain for that, but then they didn't experience it with their next one because they were consistent about that? Does that have an effect, which I assume would?
Absolutely. So I've had a couple instances where I saw mom, I didn't see mom with her first pregnancy. I saw her with her second, and then I saw her continuously from second to their third. Those ones you can tell it more obviously because you've had now a pregnancy where you didn't have chiropractic, you didn't have chiropractic care before you got pregnant with your second. And then all of a sudden you're like, yeah, I've seen a chiropractor and I saw them throughout and before I got pregnant. I do find that they tend to find that pregnancy goes a little bit smoother. More so if we're able to, kind of going through what a pelvic floor physio would say, postpartum rehab, like making sure that we're really ensuring that pelvic floor, the structures that realistically carry a baby are nice and healed before getting pregnant again also has a massive impact. So ultimately, we should be looking after ourselves, full body care, not just when we're pregnant, but in between pregnancies, just to make sure that you're setting yourself up for success, truthfully.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. The other thing that comes to mind is just knowing, you know, once that relaxing kicks in, and yeah, if your body's been out in any particular order, it really leans into that. So that's always fun too. I personally love the relaxing though, because I'm always like, oh my gosh, like talking to my husband, Michael, look, I can stretch my legs so far. And like, I just feel so good. But yes, it can definitely kick things out of place.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay. Something that I know moms are going to have questions about, because this is like number one place I send them when they are in a position where they have a breech baby. Talk to me about breech babies and what that looks like, what you do, and how you support women who have breech babies. I'd also love to hear if you know your success rates for, like, you're not physically turning them, like you said, but just using these techniques, this chiropractic care for mom, what, like, women come to you and how often they actually are able to have that baby switch into an optimal position.
Absolutely. So when we're looking at how I approach it specifically, Webster technique, I use Webster technique regardless if baby is in a breech position or not. It is just really great at making sure that the pelvis is nice and relaxed and in perfect alignment. When it comes to breech specific, depending when they find out, there's a wide range. Some women are like, yeah, I found out at 32 weeks. Okay, great. We have tons of time, and the chance that baby could have gone head down on their own, I would never know, because they're coming to see me at that point, versus someone who comes in at 38 weeks and they're just like, yeah, I found out yesterday, baby's breech. They're setting me, booking an appointment for an ECV in a week. And you're kind of like, okay, we really are on crunch time. So I utilize Webster technique and then spinning babies for at-home approach as well. So spinning babies uses forward-leaning inversions, which I do throughout pregnancy myself and recommend, because it just feels good, but it rebalances the pelvis when we're not in a chiropractic office, and you can do it at home. Breech tilts. And then I am very grateful that in my practice, we also have a traditional Chinese medicine acupuncturist who will do acupuncture points and moxibustion to help baby get into an ideal position. So can I take full credit? Absolutely not. When I look at it and I kind of look at the research, if we don't intervene with care, versus if we, hey, well, baby, what are the chances that baby at 39 weeks would have went head down on their own? I can't say for certain. But overall, my personal success rate using Webster technique, spinning babies, and traditional Chinese medicine is, knock on wood, pretty good. I've only had one that I know of that didn't spin and unfortunately had a cesarean delivery. And the way that the OB explained it to mom was that baby was nowhere near coming down into the cervix, like stuck up into her ribs. And for whatever reason, they were nestled there and they let her go to just shy of 41, which they weren't even comfortable because they didn't want her to go into labor. But other than that, that's the one that sticks out to me. And actually I fibbed there. And there was one with cord involvement. The cord was wrapped quite significantly around the body, which I do like to educate women as best as I can, because I find that we as women, we take on a lot of that burden. Like, what am I doing that my baby won't go head down? When truthfully, there are situations where for whatever reason, anatomy, physiology, just the circumstances, that baby stays head up or transverse or frank or footling. And it's like, we did all we could.
Yeah. Right? Well, and that's the part that gives you peace of mind, though, because that has always been what I said. If you do all of these things and for some reason baby remains in whatever position and however they need to be birthed, like, more often than not, 9 times out of 10, you will be able to see there will be some physical like reality that you couldn't have seen, had no idea existed until mom ended up having a cesarean birth or something like that. And you're like, oh, goodness, it's, you know, of course they didn't turn. And this is, they needed to be born this way. And it's really not a big deal. And it's nothing that I did, just like you said. So, yeah, I agree. Absolutely. I think that's pretty solid.
And I do find, though, a lot of people, like I'm finding that I'm not seeing as many breech presentations as I would have expected coming out. Like when you read about it and you're doing education courses and learning about techniques and principles, I was expecting to see a lot more. I don't know if that's just, again, a chicken or an egg type of situation where women are doing a lot more proactively to prepare and babies getting in a good position. But I'm very grateful because the other side of breech presentation is mom's more stressed, right? We're on a time crunch. I need to get this baby head down, which we all know that stress has no positive impact on our body. So
does not help you relax into. Yeah.
No, exactly.
Okay, I know I wanted to ask you, what are a couple of things, we had talked about some stretches that moms can do at home, like things that they can like take with them listening to this podcast that can be just really good for them while they are pregnant preparing for birth.
So one that you recommend already, forward-leaning inversions. I think people see them on social media and they were like, what in the world is this woman doing? Like hanging out upside down off of her couch. The first time my husband saw me do it, I was like, I need you to sit beside me because I don't know if I'm going to get lightheaded. I also was like, I truthfully don't know if I'm going to be able to get myself up now that my body mechanics have changed. And I got out and he was like, what are you doing? But forward leaning inversions are incredible, both for baby positioning, but also mitigating any aches or pains, especially if you are dealing with low back or round ligament. It really allows you to feel almost weightless for a moment in time, which is great. What other things for just general, if we're preparing for birth and not dealing with any specific aches or pains, deep squats, which I know you also recommend, are extremely important just for kind of opening up the lower part of our pelvis and getting into position to kind of good for birthing as well. And then my main thing is the bare minimum, whether you have a complicated birth, pain or not, is getting out for a walk. If you can do 20 minutes in a day, it can be extremely beneficial for pelvic alignment and pelvic mobility. It makes you feel good. You get an endorphin release, and mobility is amazing for pain prevention, but also just for overall health and wellness. So those would be kind of, if everything is easy peasy, that I would recommend for everyone.
I love that. I love keeping it simple too, because then it makes it attainable and something that moms can do every single day. So absolutely. Yes, you heard it here. Do 2 of our exercises, do all 3, and then add in that 20 minutes of walking. Yes, I love
absolutely.
It.
Absolutely.
All right. Can we talk a little bit about postpartum and newborn care? Because yes, pregnancy is where it's at and you should absolutely be doing it. Planning for that postpartum, though, and even thinking about for our babies, I think is so important. So my mother-in-law had actually, she's so neat. She's just such a neat woman. And she had one of her babies at home and she was so just awesome when it came to like me having my home birth. But one of the things she said is the chiropractor of hers that she had worked with talked about babies and how like being born is such a insane process for them, right? They're like being squeezed through this very tight area. And like, think about what that does to your spine and your bones and your just everything, like your whole body. And so, of course, like having a small adjustment after birth would be like such a great idea. But I never would have thought about that at all if somebody hadn't said that to me. So, what does chiropractic care look like for moms and babies postpartum?
So if we're looking at it from mom's perspective first, because it's a little bit easier and less complex, if mom has uncomplicated vaginal delivery, you can see your chiropractor as soon as you're comfortable. if we had an epidural or pain medication, sometimes as we can't feel our normal range of motion through the hips, some women can report pain through the pelvis, pain through the inner thigh, pain through the hip, if they aren't kind of getting that feedback saying, hey, this is too far. My leg doesn't usually go that far. So that's pretty common to deal with. But, and then that mommy posture. So always holding baby because they're so cute, or we're breastfeeding or we're bottle feeding, we can get rounding through the mid back. All of that can be done as soon as you're comfortable with an uncomplicated vaginal delivery. If you have a cesarean delivery or cesarean birth, obviously we can't be doing pelvic adjustments through an open wound or a wound that is healing. So usually we recommend 6 weeks for adjustments specific to the pelvis and the low back. But if you're dealing with like glute tension or discomfort, but not something that we're actually going to go in and manually adjust, again, when you're comfortable. If you're dealing with more of that mommy posture up through the mid back and the neck, you can come in as soon as you're comfortable. Most women after a cesarean delivery aren't comfortable, rightfully so. So allowing them time to kind of get that beginning stages of healing before coming in. But overall for moms, pretty straightforward, but we always add postpartum healing, which I myself I'm very grateful for the team that I work around. We also have a pelvic floor physiotherapist in-house. So we kind of work together to make sure everything is healing well. And then for newborns, newborn care really lights me up and fulfills me in a different way, just because for so long, I can't say that I felt this is my first baby, but I've heard of the story, oh, this is normal, they'll grow out of it. This is normal, they'll grow out of it. And for the longest time, moms weren't given any support for those common ailments that happen in the early stages, whether that be reflux or fussiness or constipation or not being able to sleep or not being able to latch well, turn their head well. A lot of that actually can be related to tension through the body. So like you had mentioned, birth is tough on baby, 100%. If we're looking at the forces being used to birth a child versus the weight of the baby, we've got greatly mismatched forces. So often, depending also on how long labor was, how long we were pushing for, things like that, you can look at factors that would present with more tension or less tension in a baby. But a lot of times it's working through tension in the low back, the pelvis, upper neck and jaw for those common ailments. And they tend to respond very quickly, which is a relief for most parents. It's not a chronic condition like degenerative joint disease, where it's like, hey, you're going to have to see your chiropractor pretty frequently before we notice a big change. Whereas with kiddos, especially what I find with latch support, you can often work through the jaw and the neck. And then that next feed, mom will be like, oh, this feels different. It doesn't feel like they're clamping down. I feel like their tongue's moving more. The suction feels better. I don't feel as much clicking, which is awesome. So,
yeah. So how soon after mom has baby do you recommend having baby come in for an adjustment?
I feel like I'm saying this a lot. When they're comfortable, I can see, like, that's just kind of how I am as an individual. I don't like to give people firm, I need to see them by this point. I don't think that feels good hearing that as an individual, where it's coming from a place of more force instead of flow. Like, most moms that I see during prenatal, most of them want to see me within the first month, depending how they're adjusting to postpartum as well. Some women, it's like, hey, pregnancy went well, delivery went phenomenally. I have my mom living with me right now. My hubby has a few days off. I feel really well-rounded, supported. Are you okay if my mom comes in with me for little Timmy's appointment? Absolutely. Whereas other individuals don't have that support. And it's like the thought of getting little Timmy into the car seat, into the car, driving to an appointment, having an appointment with you is just too overwhelming. I'm not going to say, well, why didn't I see you? That just doesn't feel right. So overall, whenever they're ready, sooner usually ends up being better than later. But again, that doesn't always happen for everyone.
Yeah. I like the thought of, and not to put the pressure on moms, but I like the thought of seeing a chiropractor within that first month, because there's, if you can make it work for you, because there's so much going on with your body and a new baby and breastfeeding and sleeping and on all that stuff, that I think it would be so nice in a preventative way to have just to know that, like, this was done. So, you know, maybe we're preventing other things, like you had talked about torticollis or tongue ties or things like that.
Absolutely.
There is some kind of tension or something. And so you're like not having to worry about that or come in when like it feels like I've had this problem for weeks now and I don't know who to turn to. So I like the thought of getting in early if you can. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think too, regardless if it's an infant or an adult, sorry, small hiccup there. A lot of times your body will get by. So if you have tension in your glute, for example, you'll notice it. Hey, feels a little tight. But if you let that go, it could be several weeks before it's like, oh my gosh, I have nerve pain into the back of my leg because my glute's so tight. The same applies for infants. Like mom may say, oh, overall, and it's super common, overall, feeding went really well for the first couple weeks. They latched within the first hour. And then all of a sudden, I started feeling a clamping. And it felt like I couldn't get their mouth open wide enough to get a deep latch. And you're just kind of like, no, they were getting by most likely, but now the fatigue has set in. And now you're starting to see the repercussions of not having it addressed earlier.
Yeah,
so if they can, I'm all for proactive care, regardless if it's an infant, pregnancy, postpartum, geriatrics, whole life proactive approach. So if they can get in within the first month, amazing. If they can't, we work with where they're at.
Specifically to tongue ties, since we talked about that, and I know moms are going to be curious.
Absolutely.
How does a chiropractor, how do you work with babies who have tongue ties? And do you diagnose, or mom gets a diagnosis from someone who is educated on this and then chooses this to help relieve it?
Learning about tongue ties is not something that you learn about in chiropractic college. It's something that you have to do outside. But when we're looking at it, ideally, in an ideal world, with a tongue tie, they would see you before the release to do some what we call pre-work. Most people would refer to it as pre-work. And why that becomes extremely important is because tongue ties often have a ton of muscle tension related to them. It's not just the structure of the tongue tie specifically. There's usually tension through the jaw, through the front of the throat. They'll be tucked like this all the time. For those that are listening with your chin kind of tucked into your throat. So when we're looking at it, you kind of want to get that basis of some muscle relaxation done before the release. Because if not, what ends up can happen, it doesn't always happen, but the tongue will still be pulled low in the tongue, in the oral cavity. Whereas ideally, what we want is if you do go for a surgical tongue tie release, the tongue should float up to the roof of the mouth. It should be suctioned on the roof of the mouth when it's not being used. So if we can get that muscle, all the muscles nice and relaxed, you will find you go in for a tongue tie release, they release that tissue and it floats right away. Whereas if there's a ton of tension related, they'll do the release and then the tongue just still stays low in the floor of the mouth.
That's interesting because I have heard of people who have gotten the releases and then they reattach.
100%.
And they've had to have it released a couple of times, and that totally makes sense as to why that would happen. And then I just want to like float a note here for those who are listening, because there are... Just like you're talking about chiropractors that have had this training, there are dentists that have had this Absolutely. Training. There are also dentists who have not had this training. And just because your friend or whoever like went to this person, I just want to put that there to make sure that you are dealing with people who are actually able to diagnose, because they have been trained to understand what that looks like before just heading to your local dentist to have a release.
Absolutely. Because we're very lucky in our area. There's a pediatric dentist, and I've actually been like, do you want to what? To do our due diligence, I'd like you to go see him, get an assessment, because I'm also confident in him to say, no, a release is not necessary, which I find that as a whole, like stereotypically speaking, we're kind of in a weird phase where if someone sees a tongue tie or a lip tie, their first response is, oh, this needs to be released. And you're kind of like, okay, if we release this right now, what's the risk? What's the benefit? Is the risk a reattachment? In which case, if you do have to re-release it, then you're re-releasing scar tissue, which already is less mobile than tissue that isn't scar tissue, right? So having people in your area who are educated 100%, but also willing to say, you want to what? I actually don't think a tongue tie release is necessary. Ooh, sorry, at this time. Work with Dr. Casey for a couple sessions, see what she says. And I have no issue being like, do you want to what? We've gotten X amount of improvement, but I think at this point we should do the tongue tie release. Or, hey, you want to what? Functionally, they're pretty close to perfect. I don't think that a tongue tie release is necessary, but we just want to monitor the function to make sure that they maintain that.
Yeah. And someone else to reach out to would be an IBCLC. 100%. So if you're not seeing a chiropractor, definitely reach out to, I'd say reach out anyways, reach out to an IBCLC, somebody that deals with lactation and can watch you nurse and all of that stuff, to discuss this as well. So I think that's just good all around care.
Absolutely.
Anything else that you can think of that you want to share with women who are pregnant or postpartum with their babies now that you think would be so helpful for them to know about chiropractic care specifically?
I think just a tip, even for myself now going through pregnancy for the first time and being educated in this space, not obviously, I'm not a brainiac. I don't know everything about everything, but being educated than the average Joe, I think something that I'm learning throughout pregnancy and I think is extremely important is being open to differing views, right? Western medicine very much looks at everything as it's this way, it's this way, it's this way. But instead, if someone maybe recommended a chiropractor or recommended that you see a pelvic floor physio or prenatal acupuncture, whatever the case may be, and your first instinct is, I didn't know that that was a thing, be open to trying things, because I'm finding more and more the things that I was a little bit resistant to do provide relief in areas that I wasn't able to find relief in the common places I would go to. So kind of going through pregnancy with an open mind is beneficial, A, for stress, just being able to be stress-free and take things day by day, but also being exposed to something that could make your pregnancy experience that much better or your motherhood experience that much better.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate that. Where can everyone find you and connect with you, communicate with you, all that stuff?
So if you're looking for me on Instagram, it is at Dr. Casey Baker. So DrCaseyBaker. If you're looking for me in practice, I am at Crescent Health Collective in Barrie, Ontario, Canada.
I love it. And I know we have a lot of moms from Canada that listen in and that are in the birth course. So I totally hope they come flooding to you.
I would love to see them.
It's been such a benefit to have you here today. Me too. Yes, I would love for you too. But thank you for your knowledge and for your time. And I know it's going to be an awesome episode for women to listen to.
Thank you so much for having me. And I hope that you have a great rest of your day.
If you loved what you heard today, the very best way to support this podcast and help other moms to find it is to leave a quick review. I read one at the beginning of the episodes, and I would love for yours to be next. And if you're ready for even more pregnancy, birth, and postpartum goodness, come join me in the My Essential Birth course at myessentialbirth.com, where I will hold your hand and walk you through pregnancy and birth step by step so you're totally prepared for a birth you'll love. See you next week.